meeting order. And you've already made note of who's absent and who's there. I don't see anybody for any public comment. And so the minutes, has anyone had a... Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes, sir. Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
And no, with no notes. Okay, so I guess we are now ready for education and...
That's attached.
Is that just coming here?
Uh-huh.
Here he is.
There he is.
Almost perfect timing. We needed some kind of a, you know, a Severson playing something with the band, you know, like Johnny used to. Because here he is. You are already up.
I'm ready to go.
Well, we're ready to listen to whatever you got to tell us.
Well, we are in the last phase of this school year, as most of you know. Yesterday was a... We're going to evidently have some changes on some of our school boards as a result of that. I think our big issues that we're facing, I was in Springfield this morning, is whether or not General State Aid is going to be prorated 82%, or whether or not we're going to be able to maintain a level funding. I have a proposal in the legislature to fully fund General State Aid before supplemental funding. And that's what the meeting was. And if we take an 82% proration, every school district in Madison County is going to be it's going to suffer severely. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Funding for all of our programs, all of our grants are being reduced about 10%, is what the projections are. So we are just looking as to how we can maintain. If we could maintain level funding, that would be good, but we cannot go any further down. So appreciate this committee, I mean, in the general public, to explain this. I don't think general residents understand. School funding is awful complicated, okay, because of the way that it's done. But to encourage, I mean, most of the legislators in this area, and I'm working with all of them, fully understand that we cannot prorate this down further. So that's the big issue. I think everybody got a monthly report on our other items. I do want to give you a brief update. Our computer-based testing center is making great progress. We're looking at probably beginning to set up that testing center in July. Okay, I think the facility will be far enough along to do that. Other than that, I have a short report today. Unless anyone has any questions. The big, I'll go back to what I began talking about, because I saw, was that in the business journal? The very topic?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in every paper right now. So, you know.
The unequal funding.
Right.
Is that bill possibly going to pass for them to bring the pensions down to?
I mean, the pension bill to pass the pension obligation of the local districts?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you my opinion as to what's happening with the pension bill. Okay, there's been you'll read periodically that there was a series of bills that were being voted on in the House. Some are passing, some are not. I think what they're doing is that they are floating ideas in the House and seeing which ones pass. And then those that pass will become part of a comprehension pension reform bill, and then they'll pass that as a total bill package. Okay? Is it going to be passed on to the local taxpayers? That one I have a hard swallow. I don't think it'll pass. I mean, I don't think to pass the pension obligation for Sears and TRS to the local taxpayers is going to pass. You're already paying IMRF. I mean, IMRF is already on the local. You know. I don't believe that's going to pass.
So they won't the unfunded portion send down to the districts? I guess that's my question, the unfunded pension.
Well, here's what the unfunded pension liability. Let me say it this way: the pension obligation they're never going to be able to pay the unfunded pension liability. I'd have to read how that was written there to pass on to the local districts. But they're looking at passing on to the local districts is the 18% of the state's obligation of the pension.
Okay.
All right. That's what they're looking at doing, as currently is done with IMRF. Okay. IMRF right now is levied for. We levy IMRF in this county. If you go look at your property tax bill, you'll see in the center of your bill there's a levy there for IMRF. A lot of people don't look at that, but it is already. What they're looking at doing is adding another box there, essentially, that would also include a local tax for the other public pensions that are currently funded by the state. Okay, the unfunded pension liability is only going to be adjusted by however they do the projected ramp of the payoff, and which is the issue that the 2% current increase in the income tax all went to take care of the current unfunded obligation of the pension. But I don't see the state getting enough votes to pass the pension obligation onto the local districts. And you have to realize what you're talking about as far as an increase if that happens. And they have it written in the legislation that this occurs gradually. You know, it's like a percent or two the first year, goes up to 2-3% over a period of 3-year period of time. In the fifth year, it fully kicks in, so you don't get hit whammo with one large tax increase on your property.
Are they going, and I know the answer to this already, probably, they're not going to lower our obligation to the state so we can pay it locally. They're going to keep theirs, and then we're going to have to add it here, correct?
Yeah, here's what's going to happen. You're going to pay it here. Okay, you're going to be paid as local property taxes. Mm-hmm. Okay, the county then will be writing a check to the pension system just like they write a check to IMRF.
We'll write the same percentage to the state as normal, probably.
You mean on your income?
A reduction in our state income tax?
No. Well, the only way that you're going to get a reduction in state income tax is if they don't approve the continuation of the 5%. You know, that sunsets next year. So the legislature is going to have to then make a decision whether they're going to extend the sunset or they're going to end it, because it was only passed for, you know what I mean, that period of time. But I understand your point.
Anybody want to do a pool on that?
You know, but I personally don't see the pension being shifted to the local unit government. There's just drastic opposition. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the school districts are going to need to levy more to recoup what my original conversation was about, and it's lost revenue. It's just lost revenue that they have. That's why Granite City passed $10 million worth of working cash bonds. Highland passed $5 million worth of working cash bonds. Collinsville has bit the bullet and has not passed any working cash bonds. Edwardsville hasn't passed any working cash bonds. But both those districts know, staring them in the face, they're not going to have a choice.
So they're going into deficit spending through bonds right now.
That's right.
Hoping that it comes back.
Well, yes. our being able then to make financial adjustments on expenditures to be able to then inadvertently cut costs. For example, if you knew you had 20 teachers going to retire in the next 5 years and they were at the top end of your scale, you could be looking at cutting, you know what I mean, that expenditure 50% probably by hiring new incoming staff and you'd have that maybe $250,000 to add to your bonded indebtedness.
Is any of those, are any of those pension liabilities on the school at that time a person retires, or does that shift into the state?
No, there's no pension liabilities on the at the time in which a teacher retires, there is one pension liability that lies on a district, is if you exercise, and this is the last year you can exercise what's called an ERO, an early retirement option, and it ends this year, and I don't look for it to be renewed. So if you exercise an ERO, a district can encounter a pension obligation if you decide to retire early, depending upon the percent of the retirement.
Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
Other questions? Good news is, I'm going to save my best news for last. All schools in Madison County are fully recognized and accredited. Now, try to say that when you cross the Poplar Street Bridge. All schools in Madison County are fully recognized and accredited. We just finished that last week. I'm getting ready to do a press release on that.
Good.
Nice.
And all have balanced budgets this year.
Are there any on the watch?
Oh, yeah. On the financial watch list? Yes. You want to know who they are? Madison is on the financial watch list. Alton's on the financial watch list. Wood River Hartford's on the financial watch list. Highland will be on the financial watch list.
Wow. Highland? Wow.
They just passed $5 million worth of working cash bonds. Granite City will be on the financial watch list.
Yeah, I read about some of those.
And there's going to be one more, but I'm not going to.
But it's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen. Those are the ones. And I'll tell you inadvertently, if General State Aid is prorated, the only school district, there may be Roxana, may be the only school district in the next 5 years not.
Yeah.
That's strictly because of the refinery reassessment and all that, though.
That's right.
And that's under contestant. They're contesting
right.
that.
Right.
I
right.
thought they
well,
lost
we didn't
that.
Win against Owens, so I don't know why we think we're going to win here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just saying that. I mean, because inadvertently, everybody's in the same financial condition if the issue of General State. But I think I left Springfield today feeling really good because of what I think people need to understand they have to do, and they've been given a practical solution. But we just have to get the Chicago delegation to agree to this, which is going to be the big challenge. But I'm running, well, come up to my office, we're running numbers right now on what Chicago's money is. I mean, how much they're going to lose, because they lost $50 million last year over this. And they're going to lose another 9%, which probably be, you know, about, I'd have to project another $10 million. They're going to lose. So, but they got it. What has to happen to get it straightened out is they got to fully fund General State Aid before they do any supplemental funding on any other means of funding. They got to fully fund, and if they fully funded, it would really help, like all southwestern Illinois districts, and it would recoup. I mean, a lot of this lost revenue that are causing these working cash bonds. Granite City did nothing wrong. Highland did nothing wrong. East St. Louis did nothing wrong financially. It was just that they did not get the money that they were anticipating getting.
Well, we need to have a conversation probably with some of the schools that want to spend money that isn't necessarily something they have to have. Maybe they've got less students, but they want to add more classrooms than they had before. Maybe another gymnasium. Those things would all be well and good if we were fully funded. But Illinois is suffering greatly, and we've got schools like Bethalto who are putting in a new gymnasium and new classrooms because there was money, a grant money given to them for that, free money, as they called it, even though we're all still paying for that too. And they've got fewer students. They didn't need the classrooms. They've got a school right next door to them that just went empty that they could have used. And a gymnasium in there, or a multi-purpose room. It's small. But they made Bethalto do that anyway. They wouldn't put it on the ballot. They found a way to spend that extra money. But there's teachers being laid off at the same time. And we need to look at those things and stop that until the bleeding in Illinois stops.
Right.
And then we can start adding on to schools. Now, you know, if a roof's falling in, that's different. We have to spend that money.
School maintenance grants are necessary.
Yes.
The construction until we can. Now this is what I told you. You got to fund the general state aid first, and then look at other.
That's what you meant by that.
That's what I meant. Okay. Yeah. If you can't do what's called the foundation level funding, you can't fund anything else.
That's what it needs to be.
And that's what the bill is that we're trying to get introduced.
That bill should have been in there 3 years ago, really.
That was really the way the code's written.
Already.
Public Act 970111. Okay? Really, that's what it is. But there's been too many supplemental appropriation bills that have went in that become then permanent. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they went in, people get used to living on them, mm-hmm. and they have a hard time doing without them. So
they're going to have to learn because, like you said, your money cannot go down anymore. And a lot of the taxpayers that are paying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a year feel the same way about them going up.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have to learn how to run more efficiently until things are lucrative again.
Bottom line.
Thanks for your report.
And I think we're going to have to learn to do that for some number of years. I mean, it's going to take 4 years to get this thing back on track.
How long is it going to take Illinois to get back on track? Never know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the only thing is, you always have to be optimistic, okay? And I believe Illinois can get back on track. But they're going to have the problem is they got to have a plan to do it.
And a change of heart from where they're at.
That's right. Yeah. There's got to be a plan as to how they're going to do it. And it's going to take some. To get Illinois back on track, it's simple. You got to make a decision. What are state responsibilities? Mm-hmm. And just what I talked about on funding of education. What are you going to fund and what are you not going to fund?
And we're going there whether they like it or not.
You're going to be there.
Yeah.
You're going to either go there by choice or the hard way. So, anyway.
Great.
Anything else?
Thank you.
And you thought you didn't have much to say.
That was great.
You'll always have much, because you always give us a bunch of information.
Well, good questions, too. Yeah, I mean, that's why I feel obligated to come
to
the meetings, because, you know, the thing that I'm most self-conscious of, that was why I spent 2 hours with the Downstate Senate Caucus today, okay, is because those guys really needed to be educated today. Because not everybody, I mean, they are not schooled. I mean, they are voting to give appropriations to people to do it, you know what I mean? And even, you know, the budgeteers up there try to trick them on numbers. And in how they put lines in the budgets, so you don't see the money, you know.
You're right. I've seen it.
I mean, and that's what we worked on today to get this for them to understand this bill. That has to be. This has to happen. They realize we're at a point. There is no choice here, guys. Now, East St. Louis was the poster child. And I showed them over the past 3 years why East St. Louis, I mean, and the state superintendent wanted to close East St. Louis. And I'll take credit that it didn't close. Okay? I'm telling you, it could not close. Because those kids had to be in school somewhere. I was receiving phone calls. Are they going to Collinsville, Edwardsville, or Triad? That's what I was asked. Parents were calling. My own son came home from school and asked me, he says, yeah, how many of the East St. Louis kids are we getting? I said, where'd you hear that at? He said, they're talking about in the cafeteria. I said, it's not happening.
I read about it in the paper.
You read about it? Yeah. You do. So, you know, because the state superintendent had full intention of trying to close it. Okay? And it was no one's fault but the state board's that they were in the financial shape they were in. And it started with a sharp fall of $3.2 million, compounded this year to $6.1 million, compounded into next year of being $18 million. You give East St. Louis all their prorated money. They got a balanced budget. So the General Assembly passed that special $9 million appropriate. They called it a special appropriation. All they really did was made East St. Louis whole, and then they made Harry Briggs furious because he went and borrowed $10 million, and they should have gave him $10 too. And then they also made Ken Spells at Alton furious because he's in need of money, and everybody else that was prorated didn't get their money, but East St. Louis got theirs.
They were just a little too quick to go borrow money, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
It's funny what people will do when something's about to fall over dead.
Yeah.
Then they'll get off their tail.
Well, I was told that day when that bill passed that it will never happen again. And I told a person in the speaker's office, if you don't want it to ever have to happen again, then you better seriously act.
Good for you.
Because it's not East St. Louis, it's Hillsborough, Illinois. I mean, it's Hillsboroughs all over the state that are no different than East St. Louis. So, and kids have got to go to school. I mean, and there are no contracts that are, I mean, the discussion anymore is not what your increase in your contracts are. I mean, contracts are what I call flat. At the most you do is you do some type of whole dollar amount as a cost of living that doesn't compound in a salary scale.
I'm glad you bring that up. You know, I've had a lot of thoughts about that lately. My wife works for the Air Force, so they get cost of living raises, they get annual raises. Now, those have been frozen for a couple of years. But in the real world where you don't work for a government at
right.
all, you don't get cost of living raises, and you don't get automatic raises every year or so.
Right.
You work there until you decide you need a raise, and you either decide to go ask for one or not. And if at some point something changes, then the deal that you agreed to go to work for a certain amount of money, then you need to either ask for more or think about making a change and going somewhere that fits you better, what you've grown into. And the government employees need to think more about that way. We need to start acting more like everybody else.
Well, those of us that work on what we're calling graduated salary scales in school systems, there's a lot wiser way to look at salary scale budgeting than the way that was done in the past, which was the old STEP program. And I use what's called a block diagram to explain categorical salary rather than the step system.
And I think we need to completely get away from annual spending for purchases by saying, hey, you have to hurry up and spend all the money you haven't spent this year or you may not get as much next year. That is a recipe for disaster and overspending and waste. And that's the same thing that happens where my wife works.
Well, you need to let me bank my money here at the county.
There's
years that we could use more.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I mean, and there's years that, you know, I mean,
we just have to get back to more common sense.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're at their mercy at the moment. So hopefully, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Anything else? Sorry.
I know these guys don't want me to shut up.
Sorry.
No.
Thanks, Brad. Okay.
By the way, my door is always open, so come on in. Well, Bradley, we haven't seen you in a little while. You've been a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, I spent a couple weeks on military duty. I was in lovely rain-soaked Seattle. And then as soon as I got back, my father-in-law had a heart attack and he passed away on the...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
22nd, so... And then we had Easter and... came back and tried to place up everything as fast as I could. I think I'm about caught up on emails and phone calls and everything, so.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. He's in a better place than we are, or I am. So I'm trying to get, you know, back in a routine, so. I think it's April, right?
Yeah.
Spring is upon us, so.
April, isn't it?
I'm getting there. We had our first quarter. I'll just go over the March numbers for office contacts. We had 745 office contacts. We did bring on a new certification. We had the Marine Corps League that certified with our office out of Alton, which is good. We have two Marine Corps Leagues, one out of Collinsville and one out of Alton. They're relatively smaller, so it's good to have the Marine Corps League as part of our organization now. So that brings our total of 27 member service organizations. Financial assistance for the month of March, we did 12 applications screened for a total of 3,298 assistance for the month of March. And the Veterans Treatment Court, we're really just getting started with that grant, but for the month of March, we did 3 assistance apps, and the totals on that, like I said, we're just now starting on that, really getting our rubber to the road. Mainly bus tokens we did, you know, purchased the bus tokens and the rent to around $450. We're discussing a lot of new initiatives on how to bring people into the court. So hopefully next month you'll see some press on some different ideas that the chief judge and I are working with other departments on trying to bring and open the door a little wider for veterans who had charges in Madison County, how we can bring them into the fold of the vet court. So we're working on developing those initiatives. For the Veterans Treatment Court, we got 27 current enrollments. Out of that, we had 12 enter the JAWS program. We had 6 applications pending for the vet court. We had 2 new enrollments for March, and we had 3 new applications received. For casework, we did 4 comp claims filed, 2 pension claims filed, 1 medical enrollment, 5 veteran power of attorney is assigned through service organizations. We had jobs program. We had 4 intakes scheduled, 3 intakes completed. We did 5 training and service referrals, 2 school referrals, and we attended 1 job fair. For our volunteer, these are new categories that we're starting to track, so we're kind of just now getting these things underneath our belt on tracking volunteers. We had our first volunteer mentor program through the vet court. We have 4 volunteer mentors in that specific volunteer program. We did training for those 4 mentors. And then we have a program called the Volunteer Grade Marker Restoration Program. We had 6 volunteers for that. And then, of course, the VA, the DAV and the VA run the volunteer transportation. We had a total of 4 veterans transported underneath that for a total of 478 miles driven through their DAV transportation program. Any questions on that? We did a lot of other stuff, but any questions on the report? I know it's a lot of information, but...
I remember it all.
We applied for several months ago excess
inventory of computers to the state of Illinois, and we did receive 10 laptops for veterans underneath the program for veterans. So when I came back this month, I had 10 laptops that my staff picked up.
Any good?
Yep.
Good.
I'm about a, probably less than a year, maybe around a year old.
Better than my computer.
Brand new, re-imaged.
Where do they come from?
State of Illinois.
Something that they owned and used? Really?
Yeah. So they re-imaged them and redistribute them. So we requested 10, we got 10. And then the computers that we have in our jobs training, we have 6 in there. So, and they're all about to be phased out underneath it, the old, where they have Windows XP, and the county is switching over, and everybody has to go to Windows 7 by the end of, I'm not sure, soon.
So you asked for 10 and got 10. Anybody want to make a request?
So
you wish you had asked for 12 or 15 now?
Are they the tough books or just the regular laptop or what?
They're Dell Latitudes.
Nice. Nicer than mine.
So we have to switch out those 6, and so instead of, we would have had to buy replacements for those, so we're going to set up those laptops because they're Windows 7, so we don't have to buy, use our funds to buy replacement computers. So that saves actually probably over $10,000 for the county there. And then we have, you know, about 4 extra ones that we're going to use for the volunteers in the Veterans Treatment Court Mentor Program somehow. So they have laptops to use when they're working with the veterans or other avenues. We have a lot of stuff going on. It's just a matter of trying to find the time to manage it all. We will be participating in the fair this weekend. We have beads, and we're going to be making necklaces and picture frames and doing some face painting. So we're really excited about that. And my daughter, she's 7, she'll be there, so she'll be running the show for us. And we got a lot of stuff going on. We have, trying to think of anything else that we've had in the last month. Any questions? Oh, the VA is getting a 4% increase in their budget if it goes through the president's budget. So that is one of the only things that looks like it's going to maybe get passed within the budget. However, the VBA, the Veterans Benefits Administration, so one of the categories on here that I talked about was, so we, in last month, the number may seem small, but the compensation and pension claims filed just out of our county, we sent up 6 claims just out of our county. And the backlog of claims throughout the United States right now is approaching 700,000. So if you can imagine, we sent up 6 just in our county. And the backlog in the United States is 700,000.
That's over your backlog now.
It'd be hard to go home on the weekend if you had that job, wouldn't it?
So,
backlog.
Congress just, I think, it was last month, toward the end of the month, mandated that the Veterans Benefits Administration account for, that they had to appear before Congress and answer for those backlogs.
Well, so, I read they're still using paper records instead of digital. Whatever, you know.
Well, that was a problem, too, because they were supposed to come up with an electronic plan.
Right.
And then they fumbled that up, and it ended up costing taxpayers millions of dollars because of the military and DOD and the VBA and all of them were supposed to come up with a system, but then they dragged their feet and ended up cost taxpayers more money. And all they did was end up writing a
They ended up with 2 systems that didn't talk to each other.
Yes, that's, and all they did was write an interface that...
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to do that. They were supposed to come up with a new, unique system, but they didn't do that. So, basically, they're back at square one, and having spent millions of dollars, and you still have the backlog.
Well, you're just getting more veterans in the system even.
And the claims start coming. They're supposed to be approaching over a million claims by the end of the year. The numbers.
They need to go to the people that do unemployment. They're pretty good at that. You can do that right over the internet.
I don't know.
They've got a system that works.
I mean,
well, the DOD sends all the records by paper.
I think some of that's our then, people too.
Probably.
I mean, it's kind of like I don't know.
I seen a picture the other day where a building's collapsing, the floor's collapsing because there's so many records in one building that they haven't got to yet. Now they're spending money on buildings.
And that's kind of like, here's the, I mean, and then the other number I talked, just so I can explain it, if you let me, maybe I'll explain some of this number. So you have the sick claims that go up, the compensation and pension claims that go up. So those people that do not come to an office like ours that gets filed through an office like ours, that file over the internet, for example, they've run the risk of their claim going directly to the VBA. So it gets up there and it sits in a stack. The VBA receives their claim. And the VA prints it off or does whatever they do and they put it in a stack. Now,
there it is.
Yes. Now going back to earlier, just so I can connect, so just to educate you a little bit, we have these Veteran Service Organization certifications that I talked about. We have 27 of them in the county. The VFW, the American Legions, AMBEDS or whoever. So like we'll use the VFW for an example. They are chartered by the United States Congress, chartered service organizations that's recognized by the U.S. Congress. So they are tasked or nationally recognized and certified. So they have occupy a spot up there in Chicago regional office. So if a veteran files their claim regularly, it sits in a stack over here. But since the VFW is a service organization, we can file an additional piece of paper with their claim that's called a Veterans Claim Representative Appointment or the appointment of a power of attorney. And we put down on that, we ask the veteran who do they want to list as their power of attorney, and they select the VFW. So instead of their claim going to the VBA, it goes to the VFW. So when their claim comes up for adjudication or there's questions about their claim, they can call the VFW versus calling the VA and getting voice prompts. Or when their claim comes up and there's questions about their claims, they actually have the VFW's power and legal representation fighting for their claim versus no one.
On your own.
Right.
So when people say, what's the benefit of membership in the VFWs, the American Legions, it's not the local bar. It's the pay for those teams of legal representations up there in those offices that are advocating for the veteran. And then pays the staff.
And then the bar.
And then the bar.
That's how they support it.
Because a portion of their dues that they pay goes to pay for that representation and keep that office in the VBA. So when they do something wrong up there at the VBA, the VFW can sit there and whack them on the head.
That's good.
So that's kind of the ins and outs there.
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Well, make sure and tell people that.
We got loaded with a lot of information here in a short period of time.
Is there going to be a quiz?
I remember it all.
I hope not.
Bob and I planned this, so.
Yeah. What really hurts is I'm not a real good audio learner. I'm more visual over a combination. But that being said,
if you want, I can just pass you all my reports then, and I won't even
speak. Just do a video and send it down to the meeting.
That won't work either, because you know we won't sit and read it all.
Well, I'm a scribbler. This is how I learned. But I was telling Carrie, I could just say ditto, just change the names for all the departments, and I'm going to give you the same speech. So I'm just going to keep it quick. It's interesting. We just had somebody from the Department of Defense come down to our Mental Health Network meeting for Region 5. And I guess for the behavioral health community, it seems like it's kind of way too little, way too late. But the DoD is starting to look at the behavioral health issues for veterans that are coming back into the community, many of which who can't run to a VA or to one of the clinics for behavioral health services. And so the DoD came down. There's some new initiatives, and they are trying to work with behavioral health providers, I think, all across the state. These people were from the state office. All the veterans' acronyms at some point start to really confuse me. But anyway, it was good. Everybody there had an opportunity to talk a little bit, because getting involved with TRICARE to provide benefits or to provide services is, I guess, a very difficult process. It was interesting to hear from our substance abuse provider that for folks in this area who need really intensive residential substance abuse services, the closest facility she can send people that will take TRICARE is Kentucky.
Yep, and TRICARE is cutting 170,000 people from their roles starting October.
Just yeah, so there were a whole bunch of issues, which I won't delve into, yes. None of which were positive. And it was good to hear from the actual providers in the room what the real issues are, because sometimes the people who get up and speak sort of sugarcoat everything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, people are aware of the issues and they're working on it. For the first time, it's only a proposed budget, but the HFS budget, which affects mental health, DD, and substance abuse, doesn't sound too terrible for FY14. So we don't know if that's just rosy because we've had horrific cuts the last 10 years. I'm not banking on it. It's the proposed budget. Almost all the new dollars are directly tied to the state's lawsuits they've had to settle. They're the Williams Consent Decree and the latest Consent Decree, which basically takes people out of institutional settings, gets them back into the community. So, enough about that. I'm just going to keep it super brief. Some of the upcoming events that I've mentioned the last couple times I've been down here, I've brought some flyers for those finally. One is an upcoming kind of a disability awareness anti-stigma campaign that's coming to SIUE that our board is helping sponsor. I'll share that with you. And the other one is for the annual drug conference, which is our local, got all sorts of drug endangered children information. Let's let you pass out there. Maybe that'd be a lot quicker. It's got the drug endangered kids, it's got best practices for treatment, it's got some things for the alternative court system. There's a little nugget there for anybody who works in substance abuse. Let me make sure. I could mention, I don't know if anyone's interested, there are discussions at the state level about the Division of Mental Health and the Division of Alcohol and Substance Abuse being integrated together. So what that means, I always say with the state, nothing good. Hopefully they're not looking at cutting staff any more than they already have. The electronic health record issue is huge. We've already met with one of the managed care companies that's doing the enrollment for the state of Illinois. There's two in this area. And, if you're a big provider, it might be easy to pay for new systems. For our small providers, it's a fortune. They do not have the money. They provide a lot of services to Medicaid-eligible folks.
Damn.
And as good as the managed care things seem, and I think they will be able to help with costs, there aren't enough providers signed up. So you have somebody who's on Medicaid who currently has a psychiatrist, and they're able to get the services they need. The state tells them they have to sign with the managed care company, and that managed care company might have one psychiatrist, they might have none. There's a lot of big issues right now. I mean, I could get into all the nuts and bolts. There's the big issue with Medicaid enrollees can only have a maximum of 4 prescriptions. Most of our consumers who are of any age that have been on psychotropics for any given amount of time, the psychotropics alone, many of them take more than 2 or 3, compound that with blood pressure medicine, any other host of things, side effects.
Gone.
Yeah, there's like a tsunami of problems that are about to hit. I mean, the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid expansion sound good, but the way the state of Illinois is...
Well, we know how good they are at managing things. So.
It's a nightmare. It really is a nightmare. And I think right now, because the Metro East area is like the second most populous south of Cook. We were second in line for that managed care rollout. And so I had the figure somewhere, but it's a huge number. And they're, although they're doing it gradually, they're doing it with seniors and persons with disabilities for this first go-round. By the summertime, they're looking at all the folks that are eligible for TANF. So it's going to be very interesting. Mm. If you ever want to come up, if you have an issue, there's a lot of stuff to digest. I don't know that I fully understand all of Affordable Care Act. Does anybody?
You thought it was tough now. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, and really, you know, we don't have the manpower, the time, or the resources to educate on all these issues. And the states cut our local network staff so badly, they don't either. So anyway, on an up note, and I'll be done.
Neither does Congress.
If you have a loved one who could benefit from an adult daycare situation, St. John's Home and Community Care, now they took the home out, St. John's Community Care in Collinsville, have opened a second facility here in Edwardsville. It's lovely. It is out by the old Bullies, in that kind of area out in there. And William Bedell ARC, a wonderful DD organization in Wood River. After many, many, many years of saving and capital campaigns, they broke ground on their new education building. So all the kids who attend school there will be hopefully in a new school. Well, the building should be up by August, so they're hoping the kids will be in the new school by next fall.
Is that still in the same location area now?
It is. It's right actually that adjacent lot right there.
Yeah, they got walls and roof on now.
Yeah. Drive by if you get a chance. They actually had got their old buildings for like a dollar from the refinery and back. So we find great agencies. I can only say great things about them. So.
Okay. Hey, quick question for you.
Sure.
You mentioned the DOD. Mm-hmm. And the mental health facilities with veterans. Huh? Right now with the national gun control argument, I've heard last week, and I don't want to turn this into a gun thing.
I heard
that last week, I think it was, they were starting to look at veterans with PTSD and trying to say that they weren't eligible to have a firearm anymore, even though, you know, they're veterans. And have you heard anything tied to that with what you're saying?
Brad's nodding. I sent him an article here. I mean, different states are doing things, but really it's unconstitutional.
Has it happened to you yet in your department?
No. Okay. No. Illinois is a different cup of tea on its own. I have a personal opinion on it. I mentioned that a little bit a couple months ago. And even our association for mental health authorities. In Illinois, you can muddy the water with a lot of side issues. The reality, people are afraid of mental illness because it gets a lot of play in the newspapers. 96% of all people with a mental illness never commit a crime. In fact, they're victimized at like 10 times the rate of the average person. And that 4% who do, many of them, it's not a gun issue at all. So what we've tried to focus on, at least locally and at the state level here, is don't muddy the water. What we need, if you want to stop, if you will, if you want to focus on the mentally ill and crime, we need access to mental health resources. Mm-hmm. So we have said we are not taking a stance on this. It muddies the water, and it's stigmatizing in itself. And what they try to do, even in New York State,
with the safe,
it's not legit. And not only that, it also keeps people who otherwise might reach out for help from going and getting it.
Okay.
So
right.
We have gun control laws,
right.
They're not enforced well, if you want to hear my spiel on gun control, too. So.
And this going back to New York, when they passed the SAFE Act, that was their attempt to have access to the VA records. Well, the VA immediately released a statement that, number one, it's a privacy act. Number two, it's against HIPAA. And number three, the United States Congress already decided on this back in the 60s and 70s when the Vietnam veterans came back. And they told the New York State and they told the California Congresswoman to go back and read the congressional record.
Good.
They've already decided this issue, and the DAV took out a one-page, I believe, press release out in New York and in California, pointing to the lovely congresswoman from California and the people from New York, saying, please read the congressional record that you guys have already decided on. This is law. They cannot access a veteran's mental health record. And they cannot prevent ownership.
For now.
I mean, it's against the law. Yeah. They can't. They have to
Although managed care in and of itself is that about supporting HIPAA-compliant electronic health record sharing. So
yes, but the,
nobody's talking to anybody right now.
Yeah, so I mean, the veteran would have to actually physically sign over their records to that provider,
or
to
change the law
to release that. Well, you would take an act of Congress to change the law,
right?
And an act of Congress, then you like once again, you're going to have the DAV and every other of those service organizations that the veterans pay money to in an uproar. But just like in Vietnam. Right.
And just to keep perspective, the reason why we're so heavily focused on funding doesn't solve all issues, but even since the time I've been here, the Department of Healthcare and Wellness Health, not Healthcare and Family Services, but DHS currently, if you look at where mental health and substance abuse funds are now, like there's been so many cuts even in the last 5 years, we're like 30% less. So, I mean, literally, I mean, we were begging for that supplemental appropriation last year. They decided to give the money. But anyway, funding isn't just bad. I mean, it's. I mean,
yeah. And there's no facilities.
Resources.
Yeah. That's it. There's no facilities for mental health.
And Murray, they're closing Murray. They did, Singer and Tinley Park were closed up north, and that money, they said, has followed people into the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
We have a major lack of psychiatric beds. That's part of the reason the mental health task force is coming. I can talk
at home.
I'm going to shut up, but the mental health system is like horribly broken here.
And that's the same thing. If the veteran's in treatment, why do you want to punish them for being in treatment? And then why do you want, you know, if they were carrying a weapon in the military, it's like, really?
Well, not to mention just having the government look at everybody's mental state over the gun. That's a huge slippery slope.
It's,
yeah,
yeah. It's
a, and I can run out, but you know, we meet at 4:30, and we always have people by 4.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm good at that. Thank you. Come by anytime.
And we're still upstairs, right?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody got to take care of me.
You're not too.
Oh Lord. Yeah.
Sorry.
I meet with them. No, that's fine because she and I had quite a conversation. It was probably a couple of months ago, and I really think that a lot of the things that they're talking about with guns is really kind of like frivolous, goofy kind of stuff. I don't like to downgrade it like that, but there are issues with people out there that we know exist, and yet we don't have any power to help in a system. We're almost driving them away, and you know, the people are. They're doing. I mean, every day you got like what, some 90 million gun owners legally. I guess I can use the word legal. I heard this morning that illegal. They're going to change that. Something without proper papers or something. They're going to, you know, we're doing all kinds. It's not betting. It's gaming.
It's good for the game.
You know, we're constantly changing words. But
they're going to get them anyway.
The argument can change really quick because it used to be gun. And then it went to rifle.
Yeah.
And that this is the military. And then it went to, and then the civilian, it's assault rifle. And assault is commonly associated with a crime or a victim of a crime. Mm-hmm. So now the military, then they changed it to personal protection device or weapon, personal protection weapon. And then now they're changing it to personal protection system. So the system is your Kevlar, your flak vest, and all your other gear. So that's going to throw the whole argument. Once the culture changes and starts calling it personal protection systems, it takes the demeaning word assault out of it, it takes the word rifle out of it, and it's now a personal protection device or system. So then the culture begins to think of it as a personal protection system. It's kind of like a cop carrying a weapon. They're not protecting you with it. They're carrying that to protect them with it.
Well, this morning at the base, there was a shutdown. Somebody saw somebody walking with a gun on the base.
On a military base.
And I said, my wife works there. She goes, yeah, I was right across the street from my office. She said, I couldn't even get in the base. And I said, well, doesn't everybody have a weapon? And she goes, the CPs do. And I said, and I assume that's campus police, whatever. And I thought, it is a military base, right?
Should have weapons.
Yeah.
You can't go to a base where they allow weapons. Except on the firing range.
Four planes.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I we could talk all day and all night, but...
Well, just one quick... Because my mom has her guns from my dad and that we store. And they said, well, you'd have to register them. And my mom goes, he belonged to the VFW, and it was a raffle gift.
I hope your mom's got a FOIA card.
Well, she doesn't have them. No, she doesn't have a FOIA card.
They
if
just
she
are.
Goes to sell them, they she will ask them.
I know.
And did you know that right now your whole family is illegal if there's a gun in your house and no one has a FOIA card?
Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry. I have one.
I have a FOIA card, too.
If I own a weapon and my wife doesn't have a FOIA card, she could go to jail if they found my weapon. They found that.
Okay.
We had I got to put in my two cents on this one. You know, about a week ago, we had this Mario. What was Mario? Mario Jones. It was sitting on the roof. It was right across the alley from me and right next door to my daughter. I don't know if you guys saw that on the news, St. Louis's news or whatever. They just gave it a little glimpse. He's sitting on there. He's got a knife. He's threatening to kill himself or something, you know. And
I'd say go ahead.
We've got an armored vehicle in the alley. We've got one of those big armored vehicles in the front. And I'm thinking this is just a little bit overkill. Both ends are good. The funny part of it was is they had troopers, whatever you call them, police, whatever, personnel. They were going around homes and asking them if they wouldn't consider leaving because of this danger. The guy didn't have it. He said, I don't have a gun. I don't have any explosives. They thought he said, I have a gun and I have explosives. Oh. All he had was a knife. He was threatening to kill them. Well, at any rate, so here it comes. They're going around telling homes. My wife and I, there's construction going on in the house. We're upstairs. And it came down. There was moisture on the back porch. So I could see this boot print that had come up to the back door and then turned around and left. I thought, I didn't hear a doorbell or anything. Well, you know what my wife did? She bought a gun. And she has a real good pattern. She has two targets, I guess you call them. Well, she pasted one on the front door and one on the back door. It's kind of like a weapon. So I think what the officer must have done is...
That ought to do it.
That's a pretty good pattern. They might be able to take care of themselves. We never heard a knock or nothing. But then, at any rate... I told her, I said, that's all right with me. I said, if you want to do that, that's fine. I don't care.
So I assume you don't have a beware of dog sign anywhere.
No, that was the beware sign right there. That's it.
Beware of owner.
You enter at your own risk. You know, that type of thing. Child advocacy.
It is April. It's Child Abuse Prevention Month, and all of our children display from the kids that we served in 2012 are hanging in here. The last page of your packet talks about that. 490 kids we interviewed at the center last year, so there's 490 little kids hanging out in the administration building.
That's terrible.
Oh,
so that's what that is.
It is, yes.
Too bad.
So it's been kind of an exciting couple weeks for the center. On April 1st, we had the Child Abuse Prevention Month kickoff event, and the center was honored for our Kids Fair event from last year from Prevent Child Abuse Illinois. We won the Southern Illinois Community Award for that event, and Telegraph gave us a nice front page picture, which was awesome. So that was pretty neat. But we won that award, and our Kids Fair is Saturday at the Alton Square Mall from 10 to 2. The Mental Health Board is a funder of that for us, along with Simmons Employee Foundation and Verben Family Ministries are sort of our presenting sponsors, and then we have several other sponsors that are helping pay for the event. It's not a fundraiser for us. It's a way to provide a free event for both the vendors that come as well as the children and families that come hang out with us. So it's a really fun event. If you don't have anything to do on Saturday, please bring your families and come hang out with us for a little while. It'll be really neat. Tuesday of last week, we did a multidisciplinary team protocol training and update, and it was just really an amazing, amazing day. We had 80 people there. Every law enforcement jurisdiction in Madison County was represented. every child protection office for the Department of Children and Family Services had representatives there. Our state's attorney's office was well represented, the U.S. attorney's office. Our medical provider from St. Louis came and did a presentation, and every agency that we contract with for counseling services had a representative there as well. It was a fantastic day, and it was also an opportunity for our senior interviewer to shine. Kim actually really put the training together herself, and for the first time really ever since I come to the center, she took the lead role in presenting that information, which was really neat for me to have a staff person be able to take that leadership on and to share that with our team. So it was a really amazing day, a lot of energy, and there's a lot of excitement that was generated and continues because of that meeting. And I think it's interesting because Allie Summers used to be a prosecutor here in the state's attorney's office. She now works for the U.S. attorney's office. And when she was speaking, she said, "I just want to tell all of you, I'm not just biased now because I was a prosecutor here. I work with other jurisdictions now, and the work that happens in Madison County is awesome." And I think that the fact that that many people were there together with us that day to talk about working cases of sexual abuse and severe physical abuse in Madison County kind of shows how good our team is and why things are pretty awesome here. So it was a really neat couple of days for us last week. We were on the KSDK window in St. Louis today at noon, 12:30, talking about the kids' fair, so that was fun. A little funding update. We did get one of our grants from last fiscal year, so now we're just waiting on some state dollars to close out last fiscal year. So hopefully we'll get that one of these days.
You're going to give that to the schools then?
No. We've already spent that money. So they already reimburse us for services, and it's that money is from, let's see, September to December of last year. So, okay. Yeah. No, we're not giving
it
to the schools.
I knew you weren't giving any of that money to the schools.
Our reaccreditation process is beginning tomorrow. Our first accreditation committee meeting is tomorrow, and we have about 25 or 26 multidisciplinary team members that are going to work with me on a monthly basis to get the center ready for reaccreditation. So that'll be a fun process. It'll be a lot of work, but it'll be good. So lots of good, positive things happening. And then last time we talked about Aaron's Law, and we talked a little bit about presenting information to kids and younger kids, and I thought that there might be a little bit of concern about what you would talk to young kids about related to sexual abuse. So I wanted to share with you some examples of things that can be shared with young kids. And this is our handouts that are for ages 4 and 5. And you can just, you know, click through it and see that they talk about private parts, and they talk about touches that are good and touches that are safe, and tells a story about saying stop and saying no and other feelings associated with it, and talking to an adult and not keeping secrets. So this is just an example of what one might cover with an age 4 to 5 year old. And then we have these that are for older girls. Sure.
4 or 5 year olds. Thank you.
And this is the ages, in case later you're wondering, are listed in the front cover at the bottom in teeny tiny print.
Oh.
So this is our age 9 to 11 book.
Man, I've got a scratch on it, girl. I'm not sick, guys. Don't worry.
It's all right. You get sick, we'll blame you.
And this is our 6 to 8 book. So, anyway, just wanted to bring those as examples of things that could be done. This isn't actually a curriculum that would be used in a school, but it's an example of something that we hand out at the center so that parents... We ask that parents take these and do them with their kids so that they talk about these things with their kids and let their kids ask questions and have those hard conversations, but have a little fun little color book to help do that. So,
did you see that I guess, a recent article about that Facebook lady who was the advocate for the rape and sexual assault to get all the pictures and stuff moved to like a safe side of Facebook, because Facebook's turned into like trash for, and she was like hounded and death threats and all that. Did you see that recently?
I didn't see that. I will tell you that social media in some form is involved in a lot of our cases. And, you know, random things that you just never, like, I didn't know on, I think it's the Xbox, you can do video chatting with other people. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to have the capability to video chat yourself, but somebody else can. And that's how we had one woman was gathering up teenage victims by her videoing herself doing things and playing games with teenage boys. So, you just never know. People are just, as soon as there's technology, they're being creative on how to use it in a bad way.
Wrong, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's almost like. I actually had to turn on the, I never thought I'd have to do it, but I actually had to turn on the internet filter on my computers at home because my 7-year-old daughter was like, she knows how to search the internet now.
Oh, she probably knows way more than you think.
And she was like, watching like YouTube, and I was in the bathroom, and I was listening, and I was like,
terrible.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
But they don't know.
No.
Until they start looking at
it. So I'm like, I'm going to turn. I mean, I want to freely browse the internet, but now I'm thinking.
No, you don't.
My kids were young. If you turn that filter on, you can look at anything.
Yeah. Well, it's off. You know, it was off, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. There's no freaking way.
And I want to just inform you, I'm not complaining because I think our buildings and lands are fantastic. I'm kind of complaining. But our air conditioning is out in the Wood River facility at least until Tuesday. And it's bad. It's really bad.
It's really, I was down there at a health department meeting and it's really hot.
And I feel really bad for our kids because we are bringing them to the center to interview them about being sexually abused. Mm. And they're dripping with sweat and it's terrible. So it really sucks, but we're going to do our best to get through it and really hope that by Tuesday it's fixed. So.
Don't have an alternate location you can use or temporary?
Not with everything they need.
Yeah.
We could look at using a police department, but that kind of...
It's scary.
It are, there any, work too.
Defeats are there the any available rooms at the Old Alton, or Old Wood River Hospital?
That's where,
that's
we
where they're at.
That's where we're at.
Air conditioning's out in that building.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hot. I was there today. Oh, it's extreme.
I'm trying. I tried guessing.
I know. I know.
What about
the good thing is we actually don't have that many interviews scheduled in the next few days, so I'm hoping that that remains
warm up
the case.
Monday.
Yesterday we had a lot. It was terrible, but... I have a meeting tomorrow, so all the team members are going to be suffering. But it's better for them.
Is this a repair or is this a replacement?
It's repair of a lot of things, apparently. They went to turn it on and multiple things broke or something.
Fire alarms keep going off.
Yeah, we've had two fire alarms in
fire alarms keep
too.
Going off.
But it's nice to go outside when the fire alarm goes off. So.
We were just at a meeting, and we all had to exit the building because the fire alarm was off, and this was the second one.
Wow.
We also brought up that the brush in the land needs to be kept up a little nicer.
Yes.
So we took that to, there were a couple on the maintenance and planning, and is that planning
it's
facility?
The, it'd be building and the buildings committee.
Yeah, building committee.
That would take care of that. Which
too.
Mix on that one.
That, or not last one, I wasn't.
But I already, there's two members on our board that we brought that to their attention to. That
Mark Burris is on that committee.
He wasn't there yesterday. Oh, but there's
of course.
One, yes, there was one. So we did bring up the issue that the grounds need to look a little nicer.
Happier. Yeah.
I'll ask.
Trimmed up a little.
Well, it just looks really bad.
Yeah.
Those plants, and it just looks really bad to walk in that place. Mm-hmm. Looks
I'll
bad.
I'll make sure and ask if they've worked
so,
any towards
the
anything on that.
Sheriff's office up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have to work someplace.
That's right.
Put a request in.
I think they have been up there, but I don't think they, since the seasons have finally changed.
Yeah.
Nothing's
and we
happened.
Tend to do some of our own stuff around our door, and I just haven't done it yet. So.
Yes. It's very warm up there, I know.
Yes,
it's extremely so.
I think there's a cold front that's supposed to go through this within the next day. So.
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm 50. Hoping for.
It's supposed to be in the 50s.
Yes, although I want to say I want 70 degree weather this time of year, but this week, the next 7 days, we can have a little cool off. So.
we have an obligation to maintain our buildings and their beauty. So.
Well, it needs some beauty.
It needs some beautification. I agree.
Yeah.
Any questions?
I think, aren't we talking about meeting at your place in June?
Yes, I think that is what we decided.
I think May.
Yeah, we
or was
but
it?
I'm thinking that we're not... I don't know what's going to be in May.
That's what I was concerned about, because I know
you're
going to be bombarded with kids.
In the summer, June, July, or whenever it fits.
Maybe we ought to consider changing that. Would that work better if we just did June in May? Maybe
can I look
month?
Real quick?
Please do. Yeah, and we're going to cancel you out for May, because you got way too much work to do. And we'll come back, visit May, June.
I have all the... kids is
true. Oh, I know. I know.
You're busy.
And because they're still going to be working on Main Street, they're canceling the second graders' walk, historic walk again this year for the safety of the children. So that was an old day.
Well, now we have an in with the mayor, so we'll have, maybe I'll get some things done. Yeah.
May actually isn't great.
Yeah, I heard that.
So why don't we?
So do you want to do June and July possibly?
Yeah.
May's not really great for me either.
May's not good. No. Okay, then let's. We'll just put it on hold. How about you guys kind of look at your. I know you. May's just. We'll just go ahead and meet here again in May, and we'll discuss. Right. Real
June
quickly.
Is fine with me, and July is also fine with me.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Okay, so we'll just flip a coin and we'll see.
Sounds good.
Next week.
Thank
you.
That
works out. Okay. We are now at that historical moment.
And speaking of what to do with your personal protection, what was the term that you finally came up with?
Okay.
Up to a system.
All right, and you don't know what to do with your firearms. What you can do is you can, if you've had it long enough, it can be a historic item which you can give to us. You don't have to go through any of the legal aspects.
There you go.
There you go. So, see, there's hope, and there's always a place for it.
You guys are short on guns there, I assume? Historical guns.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't think they're ever used.
You know, put it with the Civil War sword.
Yeah.
It depends on how bad their funding gets cut. Then they might want to use it.
You know, Pawn Stars.
Our budget is... Our budget is fine. We're still in the black, and we are spending at an appropriate rate. So that looks okay.
How's your air conditioner so far?
Well, actually, we haven't turned any of them on. Two of them died at the end of the last, if you remember. So the guys just haven't had the time. They're understaffed. That's part of the problem. And when we go for one or two taking vacations, then it's, you know, they need two people to lift a lot of things. You can't just send one person. So that's where our air conditioners are sitting, waiting. They put in whenever that is. We did reapply for the remaining $24,000 to finish our plaza. This was with Parks and Recreation, and they approved that again, and it went before the county board. So we're good to go now to get it finished. We have an exhibit, Lovejoy. Elijah Lovejoy's, and if you have a minute, please stop by and look at it. We have some dishes from his home, which are probably 200 years old. Fascinating, and some other memorabilia. and there's quite a bit of text, but it's very interesting. This more or less concentrates on the personalities, you know, about the person rather than the issues right at that time. So it's a, just a little different twist to it. And
is this the person that they named the library after?
Yes, out of SIU Lecture Library. And the Telegraph uses the statue or the...
Mm-hmm. Standing right on Broadway. If you're from Alton, you know all about that. So.
That's right.
Born and raised there.
You know about it. Okay. And then, I'm making this very short. This is self-publicity. But anyway, this is the Illinois State Historical Society. And I've been nominated for a second term.
Congratulations.
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 It's great because... We are just starting strategic planning at the state level. We'll be having a retreat weekend up at the Campbell Center. And what's interesting is we are at the same time into a strategic plan with the county, too. So I'm doing it. So it's nice because then I have kind of a balance, you know. We work out what works here, and then we take a look at what they're doing, you know, statewide, mm-hmm. and you kind of, you know, see what's different, what's similar, and it gives us a really nice perspective, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So, and I have to say that I know this is not part of my job description, what I do here for the county, but I do allocate a little bit of time for that because I think it does give us some. Advantage. Mm-hmm. Questions, or we're doing other things, but time is ticking. And
I'll mention your air conditioners in my next meeting. I'll mention your air conditioners in my next meeting.
You mentioned everybody's air conditioners.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I did want to say one other thing that, you know, as we were talking, and I always almost got the feeling down. Hearing the ineptness of some of these federal groups, et cetera, and you know, this is being paid with taxpayer money and nothing. In fact, it's getting worse. It'd be better if they just left it alone.
Well, you couldn't have said
better. Amen.
but to look about and, you know, the two of you have done a terrific job. And you're... in your corners. And it just shows what can be done with good sense, intelligence, being well informed.
I can tell, probably we can tell that you guys enjoy doing it too. And so do you. Mm-hmm.
But
that's nice.
But it's this is a good
thing. Things can work well. Things can work well.
Yes, they can. Yes,
they can.
We'll see if we make it back after this weekend with the kids.
And this book is so tight. If ever you think of something that we can partner doing, please mention it. Or even if you're just kind of trying to formulate an idea, hey, come, my door's open. Let's see what we can do with it. We'd like to do something with the circuit clerk's office. In fact, started on that. And but you know, this is a good, talented group that we have right here. So.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Before I begin to blunder through 9 and 10, you know, it's quite a privilege for all of us to be elected in our various districts. But, you know, the privilege to serve the people that trust us to do some right things. But I think this committee, and I'm not saying all committees aren't important, but this committee is really special. When you talk about the kids, you talk about the military personnel, when you talk about our children, you talk about the mental needs of so many people, and yet we can't ever forget our history. I mean, this kind of involves everything that is so important to the future, to the now, and to where we came from. That I think it's just so very important to be a part of this group and have people, as you just said, and I think somebody else, that are dedicated and committed. I mean, that to be committed to something, to make a decision, anybody can make a decision, but to be committed to something is really special. I think the county is being served quite well by you folks for your commitment and dedications. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyway, I say that. With that being said, okay, do we have bill approval? Because I keep looking at this thing and I see purchase order, and I always think of purchase approval. So do we have bills?
That is the bills.
So purchase and bills.
Purchase request, like if Carrie was buying a copier for...
Okay, so we don't have a bill.
No.
We just have the... Okay.
Those are the bills.
Okay.
A purchase request is if a department is...
So the purchase
buying
is
a copier...
The
bill. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If somebody comes in...
Those have already been spent. That's the problem. What she would bring would be... for next month. Yeah.
So we don't have...
It's confusing.
We don't have a purchase approval today.
We don't have a purchase approval.
No, I didn't see it.
I'm looking at a purchase order, but that is the bill, so I'm okay now.
Yeah.
I just ran around I feel so inept at
times. If I say it backwards, will I mess you up?
Yeah, you probably would. Okay, so I need a motion on the bill approval.
So moved.
And second?
Second. Go. All of it.
Cheers.
And then I'll go roll.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I remembered roll, though. I got that. We have
yes.
A yes.
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 And I vote yes. Okay, so then motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No?